Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
All right. Amy, Mark Score is going to drop by from down the hall at KMOX. I watched the Netflix comedy special, The Closer, Dave Chappelle's controversial special. So we're going to talk about that. Also, I've meant to get into this a little bit on my own, but David Ditch is going to help us here this afternoon, and we're going to do what Nancy Pelosi has asked the media to do, and that's explain what's in the $3.5 trillion tax and spend plan from the Democrats, which is being scaled down significantly, which is a good thing. But David Ditch from the Heritage Foundation has done some great work in exposing some of the things that are in this, billions and billions of dollars, well, really trillions of dollars in waste, and some of these things need to be known. My position, when I agree with the speaker, if more people knew what was in this, yeah, they'd be opposed. They would not support it. But we'll see what we can find out from David. Plus, we have an audio cut of the day. Tomorrow on the show, Doug High, one of our 97.1 political insiders. We have the roundtable set for Friday as well. Jane Duker will be here. Mike Elam, who is the chair of the St. Charles County Council, and Donna Behringer, who's a state rep. So all that on Friday as we head into the weekend. This week's going by fast. Is it going by fast for you, Sue?
Actually, yes.
Okay, good. Let's keep it that way. Dave's going fast for you?
So far, yeah. Okay.
Well, you hesitated just a little bit. Not sure on that.
Was that a tell?
A little bit more confidence.
A little bit.
Well, I did watch. Finally, I watched the Closer, and I've been wanting to do it, and I hooked up with Amy yesterday. I called her, and we talked about this, and I said, you know what? This is great because I haven't seen it yet. So I invited Amy to come on here tonight and talk about the Chappelle special. She's got some thoughts. I've got some thoughts. Dave's got some thoughts. Amy, how are you?
I'm doing great. I watched it also, and I normally wouldn't watch this type of comedy special because I think, as you all know, I'm very G-rated. Like, there are some Murder, She Wrote episodes that are on the edge for me. So, but I wanted to watch it to see what everybody was talking
about.
So
what's funny about that is here's what I was obsessed about in the first 5 to 7 minutes of this show is I remembered what we had talked about earlier in the day, and you said something along those lines about being G-rated. I'm watching the first few minutes, and there's stuff that is pretty crazy in here, Dave. I'm thinking, what is Amy Marscore's reaction to Dave Chappelle? But look, it's an adult comedy special. There's harsh language in here, and I really thought it was great. And you know, maybe there's a part of me that wishes I would have watched it before the controversy sort of surfaced, because having known about it going in, I was, you know, dialed into that particular topic of the transgender folks. And I thought, well, that's just going to be one line or 2 minutes in this whole deal. But it really wasn't. There were stories that he weaved in and out of this hour-long special.
Well, yeah. And I don't think you did know anything, like you knew too much going into it, because really this whole special was a response to the controversy. The special wasn't origin of the controversy.
Right.
It was a response to the controversy, and you could argue that it was less of a comedy special and more of storytelling and him giving his side of things for why he presents his comedy the way he does.
You know, that's interesting, Dave, because we were talking to Frank Ladd earlier in the building, and he said, he asked me this question. He goes, did you laugh? I'm like, yeah, I laughed a lot. I mean, I really did, but there are serious themes. Did you think it was funny? I thought it was really funny.
I did too. Yeah, I think there was a certain method to the way he did it. Just the way that he constructed the thing from beginning to end. He knew where he wanted to put the stories and the comedy and everything in between. I think he was brilliant the way he did it.
Are you a fan? Do you know Bill Burr? Dave is a fan of Bill Burr. Do you know Bill Burr?
I do know him. Again, minimally familiar with his work.
He was just here. Now, he's got several comedy specials. Paper Tiger is the most recent one. And one of the things that Bill's very good at is you may think he's saying something and you may even, you know, kind of get put back on your heel and say, wow, did he say that? But then he weaves it in with a broader point. And I think Chappelle does that to a certain extent, too. But he obviously had something very passionate, Amy, on his mind here. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give too much up for people who haven't watched it, because there is something that happens toward the end of this special that is quite stunning, I would say. There's something that Dave says that is a big reveal, and it, you know, it will make you go, holy, you know what? So I don't want to ruin that part. But I did think it was very funny, pointed, but funny, and good comedians can do that.
Yeah, and I think the whole controversy here is that the trans community feels that it's hate speech and that they're being disrespected. Here's the thing. Dave Chappelle disrespects everybody. And I think Kyle Smith of the National Review put it best. He said, this is Dave Chappelle saying, welcome to humanity. Everyone's fair game. I mean, he makes some really offensive remarks. He makes anti-Semitic remarks multiple times. He makes jokes about child sexual assault, to put it in perspective. He says everything you're not supposed to say, and he makes fun of entire groups of people, whether it's religious or racial. And so for the trans community, basically, as Kyle Smith said, welcome to humanity. But in Dave Chappelle's world, everyone's fair game.
You know, but you said, you know, anti-Semitic. Yeah, he told some jokes. You know, are they transphobic, misogynistic, all these things, all these labels. He told jokes. And I've grown up in a country where you can tell jokes, where George Carlin can tell jokes, where the great late Sam Kinison, who talk about offensive, could tell jokes. If we lose the ability to do this in this country, and I'm very worried that Netflix is going to buckle and somehow pull this special off of the streaming service, which I think would be outrageous.
But that's my point, is he made jokes that could be labeled all of those things. And so the trans community is in humanity, and so they're fair game.
So here's Joe Rogan on this very topic of, is this hateful or not?
It's fun. It's just making jokes. That doesn't mean hate. This is the problem with today. If you don't have an enemy, you make an enemy. And this is a real problem with people. We look for things. Like, if there's some people that really hated you and they were the enemy, people that just joked around about stuff wouldn't be thought of as the enemy. It's like, and as the level of people truly hate you drops, you start looking for equilibrium in what you're upset about. And so now you're more upset about jokes. Now silence is violence. And now, you know, you can't just be this, you have to be that. And it becomes this, like, weird control level where what people start to conflate. When you start equating jokes with, like, real feelings, they're not the same thing.
No, they're not the same thing. And if you don't like the jokes, don't watch the special. If you don't like the jokes, turn the special off. You do not have to. Look, he makes fun of everybody, and he even points out, you know who his biggest target is oftentimes? White folks, right? Those people. And it's, if you can't laugh at some of the stupid things that we do as white folks, if you want to be tribal, I'm not a tribal person. You know, they talked about it in the special. I don't feel like I have a tribe. Is it conservatives? Well, those are my people politically, but that's not my tribe. That's not something that, you know, really overrides my entire life. If I didn't have my friends on the left, I'd probably have a pretty dull life. But these are people that are relatively, at least my friends, are open-minded. Let me tell this story, Amy. Do you watch Survivor? Have you ever seen it?
I know what it is. I'll watch it. Yeah.
So it's a reality show. I think it's been on the air for many years. Dave, do you watch it?
I have.
You have.
Yeah.
So, Amy, Jeff Probst, who's the host of Survivor for 21 actually, I think it's like 41 seasons, because they do two a year, right? He has said before these challenges that they do, come on in, guys. It's been his saying. Like, those of us who are fans of the show, we see the challenge about to happen on TV, and we say in our living rooms, come on in, guys, because it's what he said. So this season, you know where this is going, he asks a question to the cast at the beginning of the show for this season. And he says, I want to be of the moment. Should I still say, come on in, guys? And there was a queer woman. She identified as queer. Okay, I'm not calling her queer. Used to be, you can't say that. Queer woman who said, yeah, that's fine. She didn't have a problem with it at all. So nobody else reacts. And then about 20 minutes in the show, there's a guy that, you know, speaks up and he's all guilty about this. And he says, I have to speak up. And they cut to the girl who is queer. And you can kind of tell she doesn't roll her eyes, but she's like, really? This because and the reason I bring this up is because this is not something that I even think most gay people think we should be going down this path, because they understand that some of this stuff is just craziness, that you cancel J.K. Rowling. A lot of what Dave Chappelle was talking about was, you know, look at J.K. Rowling and what she's been able to accomplish professionally. And just because she dared have the audacious notion to say that women are women and men are men. Yeah. Go away, J.K. Rowling. She's canceled, right?
Well, and I think, and that's a big part of the special, is Dave Chappelle says he's a TERF, a trans exclusionary radical feminist. You know, he's saying, I'm a TERF because I believe men and men, men are men, women are women. He believes gender is a fact, but he still accepts and respects the trans community.
Right.
So here's what this reveals, that this is not about diversity and tolerance. What it's really about is ideological conformity. You can't disagree. And it's about promotion, because tolerance is predicated on disagreeing with something, but saying, I respect you and accept you. I'm tolerating you because we disagree. But now it's not about tolerance. It's about ideological conformity, that everyone has to participate.
That's exactly
in this
right.
idea
right.
that men are can be women and women can be men. And then it's also about promotion. You can't just say, hey, I accept you and respect you and I disagree. You have to promote them. Otherwise, somehow you're bigoted, which means the whole diversity and tolerance is a farce.
Well, then that's what's happening with racism right now, too. It's not good enough to practice in your own life non-racist behavior, right? It's not good enough anymore. You have to be anti-racist. You have to go a step further. That's what we're told time and time again. Now, I reject that. And that's sort of what's happening with some of this stuff as well. And I do think that it's driven by the media, because if you wouldn't have this attention, I just can't believe some of the columns I've read that have been critical of Dave Chappelle and his freedom to do this comedy, acting like whatever he said was on par with some of the worst, you know, anti-Semitic or misogynistic or racist or homophobic, whatever the tag might be, that there's no level of entertainment that has ever reached, you know, this degree of, you know, offensiveness, however you want to term it. It's just outrageous. And, you know, some people, I'm not a big whataboutism person, but let's face it. Look at somebody brought this up. Let's look at the lyrics of the people who have been chosen to do the Super Bowl halftime show. You couldn't even play. I can't play a lot of those lyrics on this show. Now, I don't agree with them. I actually don't agree with Dave Chappelle dropping the N-word constantly. That makes me uncomfortable, because
I don't like it.
Just as a perfect example of that, I'm standing at an airport in Las Vegas with my daughter a few months ago, and there's a young kid, he's probably 17 or 18, comes over, and he's telling his mom about something that happens down the security line. He goes, and he drops the N-word. He goes, oh, he's a black kid. He goes, oh, you know, that, using it in not the derogatory way, I'm thinking, well, my daughter didn't say, hey, daddy, what's that word?
Right.
She could have. So I'm rather uncomfortable with that, but he does that. That's something that's, I guess, comfortable in the African-American community when we're not using it in a derogatory fashion. But look, if things offend you, don't watch them. You don't have a constitutional right to not be offended. You just don't, and you never will.
And I think a lot of what he was saying in the special, too, was, I can say these things, I can make these jokes, but you really aren't truly hearing what I'm saying, the message I'm trying to preach to you.
That's right. And that's, he says at one point, he says, you're not listening.
Yep.
Okay, you're not listening, because he's not trying to say, well, you know, I'm going to let Dave Chappelle say those things, because I understand his point, and
yeah.
I understood his point, and I think that a lot of the things in comedy are supposed to, in many situations, make you uncomfortable, right? Kind of make you squirm a little bit in your seat. That's what good comics do. And he's one of the best. Is he the GOAT? Some people think he is. I like some other comedians as well, but he's pretty damn good at what he does.
And I think a lot of what he does, too, is the same thing that a lot of people do not like Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the creators of South Park, but they, like Dave Chappelle, like Bill Burr, they can make a lot of jokes, and they are not afraid to offend anybody. They go all out.
Well, yeah. SNL is supposed to do that, too. The difference is where Dave Chappelle hits everyone. I mean, I don't know if he lays off anyone, including a lot of people in his own race, right? But SNL only does it halfway. They only do it halfway, right? They're not going
they're not going to make fun of Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren or the people on, or AOC. Those are verboten, right? You can't do that.
They're off limits.
We're going to make fun of the people on the right. That's where I would draw, you know, a distinction, I think, between some of this when it comes to comedy as well. I would highly recommend people who maybe don't even think that this is their thing. Maybe you don't watch comedy specials because, to your point, Amy, it's more than a comedy special. And the story that he shares in the last 15 minutes of this special, I think, deserves to be heard.
I wish I could
play the whole thing here on the air because it is jaw-dropping, and the lessons there are really important. And if the transgender community was truly listening to that part in particular, I wonder if they'd have a different reaction. They should. Based on now, I've piqued people's interest because if you don't know what happens, you should find out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say this. The whole point of free speech is to protect speech that offends you and that you don't like. Because if we only wanted speech that we liked, we wouldn't need the First Amendment in the first place.
One of the reasons that I have always been against any kind of amendment to ban flag burning, okay? I'm not going to burn the American flag. I think it's horrific that someone would take the time and protest in that fashion. It's disgusting to me. But I'm going to fight for their right to do it because there are a lot of things that you might find disgusting or reprehensible or whatever, but you have the freedom in this country to do that. And I think that's important. That's apparently something that has gone by the wayside, unfortunately.
Because I think we'll at one point, any of us could be on the opposite side of what's accepted or what's popular, and suddenly we're othered and our activity, our thought, our speech is illegal.
Especially when you're publicly on the radio every day saying these things. Amy Marscores, great to see you. You can hear her in the morning with Charlie Brennan from 8:30 until 11 o'clock on our sister station, KMOX. Great to see you. Thanks for hanging out.
It was
Dave,
fun.
Thanks for contributing here as well.
Of course.
You always do your best.
Thank you.
And Sue, you didn't get a chance to chime in, but you were busy in another room. You just walked in here, but you've seen this as well.
I have.
So, and you were a fan. In fact, you were early in on this and been telling me to watch it, and I finally took the time. But I'm excited to talk about it because it was better than I anticipated. And it was better than I anticipated because it's beyond just a simple comedy show.
Yep.
It really is a complete piece of entertainment.
It is, and he's very thoughtful in it. You can tell he's put a lot of really thought into it as he put that together about what he was saying.
Those guys are pretty good at, I was watching him. I always watch entertainers, maybe just a little different because I'm a guy that talks on the radio, but he didn't stumble.
Nope.
He's able to keep those. There were maybe a couple of moments where he just got like a beat off track, but that's impressive when you can do all those jokes.
Content,
and I don't think I don't think there was a teleprompter involved anywhere.
No.
Every once in a while,
no.
You can use a teleprompter to remind yourself or notes or something, but he's just doing his thing. So watch The Closer if you haven't. Hopefully, I think I've inspired some folks with the talk of the big reveal, which I did not see coming. It's 5:24, audio cut of the day before the hour is up. Also, what is really in this big $3.5 trillion, whatever it's going to end up being, tax and spend plan from the Democrats? David Ditch from Heritage, coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
By the way, on the topic of the closer, there was a walkout at Netflix today, and I have a little audio of that before audio cut of the day. I don't know if it's going to make the cut as audio cut of the day, but it gives Netflix an opportunity to fire every last person who walked out. It's utterly ridiculous. But we do have audio cut of the day coming up here in just a couple of minutes. And I got a good one for that, too. We have a couple of different options. Doug High will be on the show tomorrow. One of our 97.1 political insiders, he'll have a lot to say. You know, there was a storyline today. I don't know if people were into this. Dave, I sent you some audio from Claire, too, from Senator McCaskill. Let's pull that for tomorrow.
Got it.
Yeah, for tomorrow. Cool. So Joe Manchin, the rumor came out today. Mother Jones was reporting this. Joe Manchin, West Virginia senator, was going to perhaps quit the Democrat Party, maybe become an independent or a Republican, you know, caucus with the Republicans. And he said, the specific line was, no, I can't control rumors. And then they said, is that BS? They used the full word. And he says, yes, it's BS. But then Senator McCaskill said something stupid. And that's, I really used to like her. Remember, Dave, when Claire and I got along and I liked her?
Oh, yeah.
And then she became an MSNBC shill, which I think a lot of people would say, well, this is what she was all along. But it's really, really disappointing because she played herself off as a moderate here in Missouri and obviously was not. And we're learning that now. In certain cases, she wasn't. She voted with Obama, obviously. But she did have some Midwest sensibility, at least for a little while, only because she wanted to be reelected again. Oopsie, that didn't happen. 531. On the topic of Congress and some of the nonsense that they're trying to pass right now and get to the president's desk, David Ditch is here from the Heritage Foundation to talk about some of the wasteful spending. David, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Nancy Pelosi tells us and me that the media hasn't done a good enough job explaining to the American people what's in these bills. So I've gone to you, David Ditch, to talk about the ridiculous amount of spending and wastefulness that's in this bill, because you've highlighted several points, haven't you?
You know, it's not every day that I wholeheartedly agree with something that Speaker Pelosi says,
right.
But man, she's right on the money. There needs to be a lot more attention on the details of what's in this enormous piece of legislation.
You know, I know that we're both kind of joking about this a little bit, but also being serious. But, you know, you're right, because I think if people knew what was in here, some of the stuff that you've highlighted, like $25 million for anti-discrimination and bias training at HHS. Well, that's critical race theory. We've seen it work through the Pentagon and some of the other places, too. What is $200 million for Presidio Trust? That's Nancy Pelosi's park, right?
That's near and dear to her heart. So the Presidio Trust operates a park and golf course in a very lovely part of San Francisco, which is about as wealthy a part of the country as you can find. And for whatever reason, the House decided, hey, those poor rich people in San Francisco, they can't afford to keep up that park, so federal taxpayers need to throw $200 million at it. Oh, and I'm sure the fact that it's in Nancy Pelosi's district is just a coincidence.
Aren't the wages in that particular district amongst the lowest in the entire country? People barely make any money out there.
It's funny you mentioned that. I did some research. The people who operate the transit system in San Francisco average $187,000 a year.
Wow.
You're talking bus drivers and train operators.
I know that housing is expensive in that area, but wow, that seems like inflation, certainly on steroids. All right, David, I'm going to tick some of these off here and just have you explain them, because some of this stuff people do need to know. Number three on your list is welfare for journalists. So they're sending some folks out there that are reporting the news and the facts in an unbiased way, a little compensation here as well, aren't they?
They want to give around $25,000 for every, quote-unquote, local news journalist in the country, which means that if you're running a newspaper, a radio station, a website, I have no idea what exactly qualifies here, and people aren't really interested in it, but notionally you have some people working for you, Uncle Sam's going to keep cutting you a check regardless of whether you're actually satisfying the public interest.
Well, it's just ridiculous. Now, look, I would sit here and tell you that local journalism, I think, is important, and I think it needs to be thriving, and it's not. But I certainly don't think that the federal government can do, even if we think this is a good idea, it's not going to mean anything or do anything or make a difference anyway. It's just a big waste of money. I think we agree on that. $1.25 billion for activists and bureaucrats to go after landlords. What's that about, David?
The left is on the warpath about, I guess they think that people should be able to live on other people's property for free. I'm not sure exactly where this anti-rent movement comes from, but this bill is going to throw over $1 billion at bureaucrats and activists to target anyone who's renting their property to someone else. And in many cases, they're also going to be paying groups to be getting involved in state and local politics to advocate on behalf of the left's preferred housing goals.
And what do you think the real life implications of a policy like that might be when it comes to landlords?
Their goal is to get, you know, to get private renters out of the market and to put everything in the hands of government to make everything public housing. If you look at the state of public housing, it doesn't matter where in the world you go. It's always substandard. It's not the right way to go to improving our standard of living, but the left loves their handouts.
So there is actually a portion of this legislation. Again, some of this is changing, and now maybe we're finding out that, you know, this isn't all going to be included. We'll have to see, but it's outrageous that some of it was included in the first place. Section 4103 would dedicate $4.5 billion for folks at all levels of government to develop and evaluate housing plans. What does that even mean, right?
Yeah, so when they talk about, oh, we want to increase housing. So you think about, you know, bricks and mortars. You think people building housing. They think that we need to spend $4.5 billion with a B dollars just on plans. And again, this is trying to get the federal government to sink its claws into zoning policy at all levels of government to have everything dictated from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I'm gonna skip through some of these just because of time, but there's $26.5 billion for a bunch of transportation programs that the progressives favor. There's extra funding for ad campaigns and bureaucrats. There's $197 million to subsidize hiring local teachers. Are we finding that it's hard to hire local teachers?
Not from anything I can tell. If you get into teaching, one of the things you're looking for is job security, and typically you're getting it. Not to mention the fact that the federal government has thrown hundreds of billions of dollars with very few strings attached at school districts, even though local governments didn't actually see a drop off in property tax revenue during the pandemic. This is all just layers and layers and layers of subsidy. This is not about building back better. This is about building Big Brother. This is about expanding government at all levels as quickly as they can get away with.
So when you have $197 million for, you know, hiring local teachers and $75 billion, 70 or $7.5 billion for a slush fund for community restoration. I mean, it all adds up to the $3.5 trillion, which is, I guess, being peeled back at this point. But, you know, the outrageous thing is, and I have to criticize some of the folks on the right, too, because this kind of nonsense gets tucked in by Republicans sometimes, too. And this is why the American people do not trust or think very highly of those elected and representing them in Washington, isn't it?
A perfect example is the bipartisan infrastructure bill that a handful of Senate Republicans signed off on, and that, given their druthers, probably a handful of House Republicans would sign off on as well. There are so many, they're ticky-tack in the context of $1 trillion, but they're spending a couple hundred million here, a couple billion dollars there on things that are exclusively to benefit narrow political interests. There to benefit political allies, there to help people, help politicians go to more ribbon-cutting ceremonies, rather than being focused on delivering the maximum value for the taxpayers' hard-earned dollars. And this is what's lost so often, is the fact that people have to get in, put in that 9-to-5 grind every day in the private sector to produce the value in the private sector economy that the government can draw from.
Well, so in the end here, again, I mentioned there seem to be some developments even today on some of this, David. I mean, hopefully Joe Manchin and, Kyrsten Sinema can keep some of this stuff in check to a certain extent.
There's a thought on the left that they want to, rather than reducing the number of things in the bill, they just want to reduce the length of those provisions. But something's got to give. And on the other end of the spectrum, you still have, if they go down to, quote unquote, only $2 trillion, you still got to pay for it. And there is a lot of pushback from moderate Democrats about some of these provisions. Sinema doesn't seem comfortable with the tax increases that are in there. If you take out hardly any of the tax increases, they won't even get to $2 trillion. And the smaller the bill gets, the more painful it's going to be for the members on the left wing of the Democratic caucus to swallow bills that get rid of their favorite pet projects.
But it's important to remember, David, that this is not going to cost it. It's free. This, all this stuff is free that we're talking about, right? They even Jen Psaki insisted on that today.
Well, let's just say that you were to take all the money in your retirement, all the money in your bank account, pull it all out, and buy the nicest car you can. Let's say you could afford money. Does that mean the Lamborghini didn't cost anything, even if you didn't go into debt to get there?
No, of course not. It's nonsense. But apparently they think people are going to believe it.
If you look at the polling, I don't think the people are buying it.
Well, and you could even go, and I'm sure you know this, you could do another whole column with another, dozen points on this. You have with illegal aliens, you can't call them that anymore. The good folks trying to cross the border illegally, $8 billion to, fund, well, there's a bunch of stuff in there for the illegals, $8 billion to fund some sort of climate police. The list goes on and on, the little Christmas tree items that they tried to tuck into this thing.
I've actually got two more entire pieces that will be coming out in the next week, touching on that, because this first 10 is just scratching the surface.
Well, I appreciate it, David. Stay on it. We'll have you back when you highlight some of the other stuff, because I've seen some other things in here, and maybe it'll get peeled back, but it's just utterly ridiculous. And thanks to Nancy Pelosi, we're doing exactly, like we said, what she suggested. We're just exposing it, explaining it to the American people. And David Ditch from Heritage, I appreciate your help with that.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
I look forward to some of the other columns on that, because Jas Shaw over at Hot Air has done a real good job of exposing some of the things. It's really, I wish there was, and there are some websites out there that really, do some of these things. Citizens Against Government Waste is a good resource.
They tell you what's up.
Yeah, CAGW.com. Yeah. But you would, there almost is, a necessity for something even deeper than that, where you can see, because most American people, let's face it, most of the people that vote on the legislation, they don't even read the legislation, right? But transparency is a good thing, and some of the things in this bill, and again, Republicans do some of this crap too. They really do. It's disgusting, and it's wasteful, and it needs to be exposed. Audio cut of the day is coming up next. Holy cow. now, man. I'm going through the list of demands here from the trans Netflix folks, and it's extensive.
You need a dictionary?
I do. This is someone from RuPaul's show who was protesting Netflix. They walked out today.
And I need everyone to understand that. But first, before anything else, understand that your jokes are promoting hateful and discriminatory behavior and conversation. And that is what hurts us.
Okay, now look, Dave just pointed out that there was a video from Clay Travis who posted a video of the WNBA parade today, and there's nobody there. I mean, so I retweeted this. So was that funny? I think it is, okay? Or is it misogynistic? Am I expressing hate toward women because nobody goes to the parade for the WNBA? No, it's a joke. If you don't like the joke, if you don't think it's funny, that's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay attention. You don't have to listen. You don't have to follow. Mm-hmm. But listen to this, okay? These are literally, this is a list of demands from Netflix. They want a new fund to specifically develop trans and non-binary talent. This fund should support both above the line and below the line talent. This fund should exist in addition to the Creative Equity Fund. And then they go on and on and on. Eliminate references, imagery of transphobic titles. Who's going to be the trans judge on that one? Or talent inside of the workplace, including but not limited to murals, posters, room names, swag. What does that?
Room? So, what?
Men's room. Okay.
No, you can't say that.
Harm reduction. Acknowledge the harm and Netflix's responsibility for this harm from transphobic content, and in particular, harm to the black trans community. Because we looked up, what does BIPOC means again? Recruit trans people, especially for BIPOC, that is black, indigenous people of color.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trans and you're BIPOC, then they want a leadership role for you and they want you to be promoted too. It's just a joke. And Netflix should tell them all that it's a joke, because nobody has the right to demand. If you don't like working for Netflix, go somewhere else. People are hiring, I heard, right?
Mm-hmm,
Watch. Here's what I would say to every transgender person, if there are any listening right now, watch the damn special and then make your decision, okay? Because my sense is that the majority of the people walking out, I've even read columns. You know, Vanity Fair guy starts the column, Amy references, that says, I couldn't get past 8 minutes of the... Really?
Well, then you didn't watch
it. You don't even scratch the surface in the first 8 minutes.
You missed the point of it.
Exactly. You missed the entire point of the special. So I'm tired of it. And if Netflix caves on this, I don't know what the reaction is going to be, because it's hard to sit here and say, easy to say, I'm going to cancel Netflix. Well, I like the other shows, but it's going to piss a lot of people. I don't see them doing that, but I do see them caving to the trans and non-binary community, whatever you want to call it here,
the BIPOC,
at their list of demands. Right. So I think that's what's going to happen.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right. Audio cut of the daytime is sponsored by The Sound Room, one of the only places in the entire region you can see the 100-inch Sony TV. I'm going to be at The Sound Room tomorrow doing some video stuff and checking out some of those TVs. This is a very short audio cut of the day. Jen Psaki with a reporter, it wasn't Peter Ducey, asked about the Build Back Together program.
President, you still believe that Build Back Better will not add a dime to the national debt?
Correct, it won't.
Why should Americans believe that?
Because it won't.
What if taxes that he says he wants to get more taxes in? What if it doesn't happen? What if the economy goes sour? Lots of things can happen. Mm-hmm. What are you're going to tell from up there future generations, not even born yet, that they're not on the hook for this? Is that right?
That's right, and hopefully you'll report accurate information yourself.
Oh, my God. Now, and what's funny about an exchange like that is that people in the Trump White House were labeled as crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That's first of all, she's been pretty good at her job, taking the politics out of the mix, because it's a tough gig, but she's becoming much meaner and snarkier. And I don't think people are going to buy that. They hear that soundbite. You're kidding me. The majority of the American people understand that if you're going to pass a bill for $3.5 trillion,
yes,
that it's going to cost. That reporter, by the way, raises a great point. What the hell happens if we have a recession and the tax revenues aren't there? Well, somebody's going to have to pay for it. Anyway, we'll go out here. We did have some exclusive audio last night right around this time. It was Luther Burden Jr. who chose the University of Missouri over what, Dave? It was all kinds of...
Georgia and Alabama. Mm-hmm.
Georgia, Alabama. He decommitted from Oklahoma. And we had some audio from Coach Drink that now I can't find. Where is Coach Drink?
Did you move it to the bottom of your list?
What the hell did I do with it, Dave? It's blowing my whole bit here because I can't find the soundbite of Coach Drink from last night. And the music's going to run out. I honestly don't know what's going on here because my eye is just not seeing it. Dave's going to try to save me. Do you have it? Do you have it? Here's Coach Drink. Here he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
That was a lot of work for a bit that kind of failed in the end because I couldn't find the audio.
No, it worked.
That might have been when we captured Osama bin Laden and killed him.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.